My friends, this is Peter Beter. The other day I listened to a message by Tom Wilson called Common Sense and Your Last Chance to Use It. If you are one of those who still believe it couldn't happen here, then get ready for Tom Wilson to prove it is happening here. He does it by applying common sense to what we all see and hear every day. Here now is Tom Wilson.
I don't see why the federal government doesn't do something about it. They know better than that. What's the matter with Congress?
For much too long now, we have been heckled, harassed, annoyed, and bewildered by the loud, angry noise of political and public unrest. We have learned to live with the noises of our typical political bungling, but this noise is louder and much more frantic than usual. Today, on the eve of our 200th national birthday, why aren't we just overflowing with the spirit of joyous celebration? Apparently, something has gone wrong. People are shouting about all sorts of things. High taxes, inflation, unemployment, red tape, busing, shortages, and crisis after crisis. Now we even have a president and vice president not elected by choice of the people, and we're shouting about that too. Well, why wouldn't we? More often than not, our top officials just add to the confusion. They disagree with one another on what ought to be done, and as often as not, they reverse their own opinions. They say, raise taxes, lower taxes. We have an energy shortage. No, we don't have. Interest rates are too high. No, they're too low. This sort of leadership, or lack of it, makes it appear obvious that as a whole, they don't know what they're doing. But actually, the problem we have on our hands is much worse than ordinary stupid bungling. It is the workings of a very deliberate plan against our governing system and against us, the people. At this very moment, our government, which is supposed to be of the people, for the people, and by the people, is in the process of being overthrown, piece at a time. We, the people, are being willfully oppressed and misinformed so that very soon we will be duped into demanding a new governing system, unless we wake up and stop it. If we allow ourselves to be tricked into doing this, we'll find ourselves bound as slaves under a new order of government and a new constitution. This whole mess we're in is engineered by a few individuals obsessed with greed and lust for power. They already have more than a fair share of money and material things, so now they want power to control our nation and us, the people, as they please. Jiggle us like marionettes on strings to do their bidding. These power-crazed individuals will be referred to in this message as manipulators, just to avoid using controversial expletives. The manipulator is a person who possesses power to control others through his ability to persuade, intimidate, indoctrinate, or legislate his authority over and above the will of others. The manipulator, because of his egotistical ability and his devious, underhanded ways, is a very dangerous parasite in our free golden rule society. He creates absolutely nothing of his own to share with us, and he has no actual power to produce anything of value. Instead, he uses the creative and productive efforts of others through his ability to influence and indoctrinate. Therefore, the manipulator is in control of vast resources of power, but actually, his power is within our minds and our willing hands. He holds us in his power through the hypnotic illusion of his superiority as long as we are willing to let his mind do our thinking for us instead of using our own common sense. This conspiracy business may sound like a very fantastic sort of plot that couldn't possibly work here in our sound and solid United States of America, the sort of thing no one could get away with. The sort of thing that happens only in a so-called banana republic. Well, it is happening here. It is happening now in these United States of America, happening to our government and happening to us, the people. No matter how fantastic it sounds, it is happening. They have had a new constitution in preparation for more than 10 years. It has been carefully prepared to have a cosmetic appearance similar to that of our original document, but by legal interpretation, it makes the people servants of federal authority instead of the federal government being a servant of the people. It is a complete legal legislative reversal of the spirit of government under which our nation grew up and achieved its greatness. If you stop and think about it, you very likely have noticed this reversal of our rights has been steadily increasing and becoming more oppressive as new policies and controls keep tightening federal authority over us. Our federal government has been infiltrated by the manipulators, and they are manipulating legislative measures that are deviating the spirit of government and the course of our nation. They are, a little at a time, taking away state and local authority by centralizing all control under federal authority. We are gradually being placed under more and more federal control so that when the manipulators at the top step into power with their new order, we will be helpless to resist their takeover. We are almost, but not quite, within their grasp right now. We have a little bit of time left in which to turn the tide of events in our favor, because we are not yet sufficiently indoctrinated to accept a new order without resistance. We still have a loyal, patriotic remnant of our good federal authority left in some of the people working within our government. But this loyal remnant has become powerless to throw off the manipulators at the top unless we, the people, furnish powerful public opinion to back them up. They can turn the tide, but only if we do our part. It is within the power of the manipulators right now to create a national disturbance that would demand a declaration of martial law and thereby turn us into a police state. But they don't dare try this yet because they know that we are not really nearly as apathetic as we are made out to be. They know that the oppression we are suffering has made us into a bed of smoldering embers that could be fanned into a flaming revolutionary reaction against them. This is what they fear. So they are manipulating us very carefully, but very steadily. We are facing the most serious threat to our personal rights and our personal security in the near 200 years of our national history. This is not like the wars we have fought outside our borders. This takeover plan is working right here inside our nation. The purpose of this message is to open your eyes to the manipulations that are going on right in front of you day by day, and then to outline exactly what you and the people of our nation have to start doing in order to stop it. What we've got to do to save our government, to save ourselves, and to preserve a worthwhile nation for our children to grow up in, a national home where they can be free, prosperous, and contented. The manipulators have over a long period of time been manipulating stocks, mergers, conglomerates, and monopolies to centralize all principal sources of supply for food, energy, and industrial supplies necessary for our survival. This, together with the centralization of federal control, has weakened our internal security and has also weakened our external security as a nation among a world of nations. Over-centralization lengthens supply lines and reduces local production and local stockpiling. Local sufficiency and self-support to all extent possible makes us much stronger internally as well as more defensive to external attack. Recently, our Secretary of the Interior flatly stated that the United States of America would not be able to defend itself if we had a war right now. We must put a stop to the federal government's meddling in things which are none of its business under the Constitution so it can efficiently perform the duties which are its business. Then we can get back to our business. Let's go back to our beginning and come forward from there. Only 200 years ago, the United States of America was still just an idea. But in the sum of just 3 average lifespans, our nation has grown from 13 British colonies into a great free nation of 50 states and about 230 million residents. Our unprecedented rapid progress came from the united constructive efforts of a free enterprise society. Individual incentive to build and to share has made our great progress possible. This kind of dedicated incentive can be found only in a nation of free people. Our founding fathers had been subjects of the great British Empire. They fought to win independence from a government in which their voice was not represented. They fought to be free from taxation without representation. They were inspired by their victory to create a governing system in which majority popular wishes of the people would be represented. Their system has worked well for almost 200 years. We live in a constitutional democratic republic, a representative form of government. Our representative democratic republic is not to be confused with a pure democracy system. The pure democracies usually become unstable and break down into dictatorships. The representative system, which has served us well from our beginning, should serve us well for another 200 years, but only if we preserve the original system in its true representative form. The manipulators have added certain amendments to our Constitution which deviate our system away from the original spirit of a truly representative form. They have also manipulated a complexity of legislation into our governing system which further supports the constitutional deviation. The 16th and 25th Amendments have brought about very dangerous departures from our solid original federal system. The 25th Amendment cleared a legal path that resulted in our now having a president and vice president not elected by choice of the people. Most of the deviating legislation has been enacted in the form of federal controls over the multiple socialistic so-called benefit programs to meet a variety of public needs. Much of the manipulated legislation has resulted in creating more federal bureaus, departments, offices, agencies, authorities, and so on, than we can think up good names for. But out of these, whatever you call them, come all of the oppressive federal laws, sometimes very softly referred to as guidelines. Well, barbed wire and fixed bayonets might also be referred to as guidelines. A great deal of the deviating and oppressive legislation has been signed into federal law without public knowledge. The manipulators attach a piece of legislation to an unrelated but well-supported bill being signed into law, thereby hiding their legislation under the skirts of legitimate legislative action. With this trick, they are able to get their regulations enacted into law without public knowledge or approval. By the time we find out about their manipulation, it has already been signed into federal law. Here is an abbreviated plan of what the manipulators are doing to us. First, promote, glorify, and increase federal control through numerous federal benefit programs for the people. Second, manipulate a breakdown in the federal system by making conformity to regulations oppressive and overbearing. Then blame federal breakdown on need for stronger federal control. Third, promote and glorify a new order of governing system under a new constitution that will provide stronger federal controls and thereby solve all of our problems. Perhaps an appropriate remark at this point would be, how diabolical can you get? Nevertheless, their plans are progressing exceedingly well for them at this time, and they will succeed if we do not take strong and immediate counteractive action. They are all set up with federal districts, federal offices, and lots of federal employees, 2.5 million of them. All they have to do now is increase federal pressure on us until we demand a new system. If we'll just wake up and look at what's going on around us and apply a little bit of common sense to what we see, we'll know better than to let the manipulators enslave us. We're not talking here about going from where we are now into a new governing system that might turn out to be a little bit oppressive. No, not at all. It's much worse than that. We're talking about losing all the freedom we still have and becoming slaves to a totalitarian police state dictatorship under the manipulators' new order and their new constitution. We are running out of time. Our decision and our counteraction has to be now if we are to have more than 5 years at the outside as a free nation and a free people. Our federal system has become very much like a powerful runaway machine controlled by a power-crazy maniac. We elect senators and representatives to voice our opinions in the federal houses of government, and we expect them to turn our majority preferences into federal recognition and acceptance. Our elected representatives, more often than not, would like to accomplish this recognition for us, and would like to do for us what they so strongly proclaimed in their campaign promises. So why don't they do it? Well, for one thing, when they enter the gigantic federal machine, they find that they must yield to its already established direction and momentum. The late Sam Rayburn, for 17 years Speaker of the House of Representatives, put it in these famous words. He said, "Those who go along, get along." To understand this a little better, stop and think about the last time you attended a circus or some other spectacular event. You're just caught up in the atmosphere and power of excitement. All else is of trivial importance at the time. The event is it above all else. Well, that's the way it is with the federal circus. There are the massive, expensive, impressive buildings and monuments standing on beautifully landscaped sites, the chauffeured limousines, and the atmosphere of excitement and importance. In such an atmosphere, it doesn't really matter very much about the blistered hands, the sleepless nights, and the financial worries of the people back home who have to toil and earn a dollar at a time to pay for the show. No, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't seem to come to mind. There are lots and lots of people. No problem. The machine is the thing. Get into the machine and sling the money and power around. Be important. Have a good time. What do the people back home know anyway? This is big stuff. Or as Harry Hopkins has been quoted as saying, "Tax and tax. Spend and spend. Elect and elect. The people are too damn dumb to understand." Unquote. These are the words of one of the very men who had the most to do with creating the so-called benefit programs of the New Deal. That is what our rulers really think of us. This sort of thing might lead you to believe that something is wrong with our basic system. This is exactly what the manipulators are trying to make us believe, so that we will accept their new order of federalism and their new constitution. Please do not fall for their trickery. Instead, call your representative on the carpet or out behind the woodshed and read this off to him slowly. Watch him carefully. You'll know what to do with him. Just use your own common sense. Whatever you do with him will very likely represent majority public opinion. But however you do it, get him turned around and representing us for a change. If our representatives would only represent majority opinion, we would be in no danger of falling into the hands of a dictatorial federal authority, simply because we, the people, wouldn't stand for it. As it is now, we, the people, do not have our majority preferences represented. Instead, our elected senators and representatives are in the clutches of our manipulated federal machine, and they think they have to go along with it to get along with it. They are caught up in the syndrome of the machine, and many of them do not realize that they are pushing through legislation that has been designed to undermine and weaken our basic structure. We must use our majority public opinion power to shake our representatives like shaking a disobedient child. Get their attention and firmly impress upon them that they were elected to represent us, the people, not to go along and get along with a machine run by deviating manipulators. A little further along in this message, it will be explained how our representatives and how we, the people, have been duped and indoctrinated into our present perilous circumstances. It is not a fault of our basic system that has us in trouble. Our problems are largely traceable to the fact that we are not adhering to our basic original system. Instead, we are being manipulated away from it quite deliberately. The manipulations have succeeded in increasing, one by one, federal regulations and federal controls over the people, while at the same time bypassing and weakening the authority of state, county, and municipal governing systems. Then how has all this been done? How has the original course of our federal system been altered? It has been accomplished by leading us, the people, to believe that our federal government is very rich and very generous, and that it has the power and the ability to give us all kinds of benefits and aid programs that we would not and could not have without their great wealth, generosity, and power to regulate these benefits. We've been sold a bill of goods we can't afford, a bill of goods we have no way of paying for. In other words, we've been played for suckers. This brings up two more good questions. Where does the federal government get all that money, and how do they sell us a bill of goods like that? The answer to the first question is the 16th Amendment, manipulated into our Constitution in 1913. The entire amendment reads as follows, quote, Article 16, "The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states, and without regard to any census or enumeration." End of quotation. These few words prove what drastic changes can be brought about by constitutional revision. They led immediately to establishment of what we know now as the Internal Revenue Service. The original tax rate set in 1913 was 1% on incomes of more than $3,000 for a single person or $4,000 for a married person, plus some surtaxes on much higher incomes. The corporate rate was also 1%. Most people in 1913 didn't make as much as $3,000 or $4,000 a year, and those who did were not hurt very badly by a 1% tax rate. Thus, the manipulators avoided provoking the kind of strong public reaction that could have scuttled their powerful new taxing tool right then and there. But years later, with their taxing power firmly in place, they began slowly jacking up the rates and the complexity. And look what we pay Uncle Sam today. Do we have any logical reason to think they'll stop where they are now? This answers the question about where the federal government gets all the money with which to do all these great things for us. They simply take our money. They take it by law, by intimidation, and by threat of imprisonment. No one has to tell you they take an awful lot of it. So their system is to take our money and then make us feel grateful by giving part of it back. But the system is like a leaky bucket. Before we get some of our money back in the form of various benefits, most of it has leaked out in handling and administrative costs. So they have to increase the taxes to put some more in the bucket. Sometimes they need more than we would stand for in a tax increase, so they go borrow some and only charge us the interest, for now, that is. It might be worth pointing out that in the first 137 years of our history as the United States of America, there was no ongoing federal income tax. In fact, until 1913, it was illegal under the Constitution. In that 137 years, under the law of supply and demand, and by a free enterprise system of public incentive and initiative, we crossed this nation in covered wagons. We built cities with factories and industries from coast to coast, and linked all this together with railroads, mail service, and a telegraph system. We started building automobiles in mass production. We were working on radio communication, and we were working on transportation by air. We took care of our business in building a free nation, and most of the time the federal government took care of theirs. They were able to manage very well on income from tariffs, duties, and a few excise taxes, all legal under the Constitution. We had built a mighty fine nation by 1913, but the manipulators had already started to work on the foundation of our federal governing structure like termites. Wherever something good appears, there will also appear a greed to grab it. This is a law by which animals survive. They don't create for themselves, they just grab what is already there. Unfortunately, in our human species, there are always a few among us who do the same. They do not create and share, they just take away from us what we create, earn, or accumulate. If they only do a little bit of this and they get caught at it, we call them petty thieves and lock them up. But if they're clever enough to do vast amounts of it and not be too obvious about it, we somehow get blinded by all that money, and we may tend to say, "Why, he's so rich, he wouldn't steal." We tend to forget that a fat man eats more than a thin man, not because he needs it, but because he wants it and he's used to it. There is no way to set up a free society governing system to prevent the existence of greedy, parasitic individuals, but there are effective laws by which they can be stopped from grabbing if we'll just use these laws. Now let's get into the question of how the manipulators are able to sell us on the idea of all the many federal benefit programs. An overly simplified answer is to say it is done with advertising. The simple basis of advertising is to publicize or display the merits of a product that will create a desire to have the product. One of the many often used gimmicks is to say the product is a bargain because it is so good it will pay for itself, that you can't really afford to be without it. Most of us have some weakness for being suckered into a something-for-nothing deal, but if we stop long enough to think and use our own common sense, we know better. The manipulators know all the tricks of selling, and they know the best way to push their product is to flood our minds with such repeated blasts of advertising that we don't have time to think out the real value for ourselves between blasts. But you haven't noticed anything like this going on, have you? Likely not. This shows how clever they are. They're on every hour, on the hour, around the clock, and often present special interest programs presented as public service information. You see, we have developed a new tool for advertising that has never been available until quite recently. But like any tool, it can be used either constructively or destructively. The knife that slices a banana can also slice your finger off. This powerful new tool is the electronic communications media, in other words, the radio and television broadcasting networks. The manipulators have not only infiltrated our government, but they have gained control over most of our major communications systems, including newspapers and some magazines. They are also working through philanthropic foundations to influence our educational system. No doubt you like to be well informed about what's going on in our nation and around the world, so you may listen to some of the hourly newscasts on the major radio networks. A careful study of these newscasts has revealed a very interesting pattern of presentation. The importance of this pattern is understood best if you first stop to consider how our minds work and how our beliefs and personalities come to be what they are. This is the end of Side 1. The message will continue on the other side. Thank you.